You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Okay, as Scott said, this is On My Nightstand, and I am Laura Cathcart Robbins. And today, we have something really special for you. As many of you know, we held a writing contest, and we had two categories of winner. We had poetry winners, and we had essay winners. We're going to read you our essay winner next month, but today, we are going to bring you our first, second, and third place winners for the poetry category. Very, very excited about these. I got to tell you just that the contest, we were flooded with submissions like never before. It was so hard to go through all of them. They were all my favorites, but it was a team decision. Really, really grateful for our team to help us go through these and declare these first, second, and third place winners. So the first place winner is a poem called When Addiction Wins the War. It is by a woman named Ariella Warner, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her right now. Ariella is a mom, a creator, and an entrepreneur. When she isn't cleaning up the messes of her children and dogs, she is creating content for her soon-to-be-launched podcast. She is passionate about helping other women feel seen through their own stories and the stories of other women. You can find her on her website at www.singleheart.com. So again, congratulations to Ariella for being our first place winner. And here is her poem, When Addiction Wins the War. When addiction wins the war on the addict, you don't see the person underneath the addict as clearly as before. The child they were before, the son they were before, the brother they were before, or the father they were before. Before my brother was an addict, he was a little babe with blonde, fluffy, feathery hair, big brown eyes, and a sweet smile. Before my brother was an addict, he loved to follow my dad around, tools in hand, ready to hammer a nail or prepared to take something apart, to be just like dad. Before my brother was an addict, he loved to climb trees, dig in the dirt, chase chickens, loved to eat, and loved his mom bigger than the whole wide city. Before my brother was an addict, he was an annoying little brother who couldn't leave my sisters and I alone when we had company, who had to be wherever we were, who found joy in his role as the annoying little brother. After. After addiction found my brother, we could still see his face sometimes. The person he was before. The after is hard. This is the part that makes success feel impossible, because it's hard on the family to watch, and it's hard on the addict to hear the concern. It's a war that we could only watch, but not participate in. After. After addiction finds the addict, addiction makes it hard to hear how much the addict is loved, how there is help if they want it, how much they are needed by their family, how there are ways to fight. Addiction is loud. It's louder than all the love. Addiction will say anything to keep the addict. After. Instead of hearing love, an addict feels criticized. They feel looked down on. Addiction doesn't look down on an addict. It whispers lovingly. It's right there in the dirt with the addict. It's a comforting friend, arms wrapped around the addict's soul, telling them all the things they want to hear. Addiction lies. Addiction is louder than the love from others. It does not discriminate, judge, or turn away. After. After addiction, the only person who can defeat it is the addict. Everyone else is useless during this time. To us, it was a battle, but the truth is we could only hold on for the ride. Watch it take all of the before moments, leaving scars in its place, and hope that something would be louder than the addiction, and he'd hear us in the end. The end. The end is the worst part. In the end, we didn't get through. In the end, addiction won. Now we grieve all the before, all the what-ifs, and there's sadness. There's guilt. I know we did what we were supposed to do. Even if we question, did we? Could we? Maybe if. The fact is we did, and addiction was louder. I don't think he was alone in the end. I think he was surrounded by family who'd gone ahead. I believe he was gently guided by the hand to a place without pain, without addiction, a place where he could be that little babe with blonde, fluffy, feathery hair, who was fishing with his uncle and grandfather, where the love is loud and the river calm. All right. Again, congratulations to Ariella Warner. That was beautiful. And here is our second place winner. This is Desiree Powell. And I believe this piece is called Challenges, Setbacks, Failures. And I'll tell you a little bit about Desiree. She is a mixed Manhattan Beach, LA native, single mom of two teenage sons, 12 and 16, one of whom is special needs. Works full-time as a bartender at a gentleman's club in West LA, currently holding her breath in anticipation, waiting to find out if accepted to USC or LMU to pursue her bachelor's in the fall of 2022. One of eight siblings, all of whom live in and around the Pasadena area, best known for her Wheel of Fortune Dancing with Prince episode, which aired November 12th and 13th, 2021, as well as her infamous Martini Tower trick, a.k.a. how to simultaneously pour three different martinis, something I've actually seen her do, and it's quite spectacular. So again, congratulations to Desiree, and here is her poem. Challenges, setbacks, failures. Or are they lessons in perseverance, patience, specifically tailored? They happen to help me move forward and be strong. Life lessons that happen so I can keep keeping on. How did these affect me? Well, I think I just told you. I flipped the script, redefining the meaning, making it so the challenges seem much more appealing, making it so the failures and the setbacks are happening so I can move forward, not retract. Sure, those times were terrible, like the time I was molested, or when I had to be deposed by an ex-boyfriend, arrested, or when he decided to stalk and threaten me, called DPSS, saying motherhood ill-suited for me. Or the time the father of my children told me he had a whole nother family in Texas. It wasn't a lie, he said to me, just didn't ever confess it. All these things, the setbacks and challenges, well, surely they emit a certain amount of damages. Damages to my psyche, my spirit, my soul, make me feel that I am less than whole. And what about when they said your son is autistic? And then later, your eldest son said he wants to kill himself. All these things have happened to me, but I say they've happened for me to learn, evolve, develop, come forth like a burgeoning seedling in the ground, buried but not lost, truly found. I'm a glass half full person. Yes, I've been through a lot. But I believe that things will always be better, that not everything is for naught. Because for all those horrible experiences, I've had so many amazing ones you just wouldn't believe, like the time I got to dance with Prince, or the few times I was on TV, or when I got to sit courtside at a Laker game, when I gave birth to my two sons, when I fell in love not once but twice, and when I was 12 and made the shot for my basketball team. Yes, indeed, we won. I focus on things I have, not all the things that I don't. I'm grateful for those bad experiences I've had, because without those, would I have an appreciation for when I don't? Don't you savor those sunny days so soon after the rain? Don't you revel in time on vacation when you've been stuck working like a rat in a cage? Don't you appreciate the comforts of a cozy bed and fresh seats from the dryer so warm? Don't you love the company of people when before you were feeling forlorn? I'm grateful for all I have, the good, the bad, and all the things in between, for the experience I've had make me who I am, my reality far better than my dreams. Yeah, I love that poem. Congratulations, Desiree. And here is our third and final poem. It is titled Enough. It is by Zenobia Redoux. I hope that's how you pronounce your last name, Zenobia. Here's a little bit about her. She says, as a young girl growing up in Berkeley, California, I always knew that I wanted to be a writer, but I did not know in what capacity. As a teenager, I had aspirations of writing poetry in the East Village in New York, but that was short-lived as I knew I needed to eat. During college, I explored various writing majors before receiving my degree in journalism. I wrote for my college magazine, but eventually went into technical communications post-graduation. While my career has been rewarding, I have not written anything personal in over 25 years, despite being an adjunct English professor at my local community college. Enough, a poem I wrote to illustrate an ode to my English 2 class, was an attempt at me dusting off my creative juices. The poem was so well received by my class and colleagues that I am now committed to writing a poem a month and building my poetry and short fiction portfolio. So here is Enough by Zenobia Redoux. Congratulations on being third place. I picked you up. I took you out of the water. Isn't that enough? I baited your hook. I cast your line. Isn't that enough? I reeled in your bounty. I rowed you back to shore. Isn't that enough? I took you home. I cleaned your catch. Isn't that enough? I prepared your meal. I served it to you with a smile. Isn't that enough? What? You want me to chew it and digest it for you? No. I think I have done enough.
Honey, that was such an amazing episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's time for some Patreon shout-outs, though.
Yes, it is. Time for Patreon shout-outs.
For some people supporting the podcast.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much to our patrons who support us on Patreon. And the first person we're going to shout out is a new podcast. It's not a new podcast. It's new to us.
It's new to us and an upcoming guest.
Yes. It is called How to Do the Pot Podcast.
I just love that name. How to Do the Pot.
How to Do the Pot. You heard that right.
Yep.
So check this out. 3 out of 4 women in the U.S. have access to legal weed.
Huh.
But most women still have a lot of questions.
Okay.
So How to Do the Pot Podcast is demystifying cannabis for women.
And for men.
And for men.
Yep.
Every week you can listen for fun, short episodes that answer all the questions women secretly Google about cannabis.
Okay, we want to clear this up a little bit because I went into this thinking this was just about pot, but this is about the medicinal use of marijuana, right?
It is. How to Do the Pot shares women's personal stories and advice from experts to help them with solutions around stress, sleep, sex, and chronic pain.
All right.
With the goal of helping women feel more confident in their choices about cannabis.
This is an overdue conversation.
Yes.
In my mind.
So if you're ready for practical advice about weed by women for women, listen to How to Do the Pot wherever you get your podcasts. So our second one is Mercedes Cusick, LMFT.
Right on. Mercedes is back.
Mercedes. We love Mercedes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her family. She is a licensed trauma therapist and certified EMDR therapist. Okay, what's that mean, right? That means that she's had some advanced training in complex and developmental trauma, and she's doing something pretty incredible called EMDR intensives.
Yeah, this is pretty unique, isn't it?
It is. It's a concierge curated program that's just for you, everyone who's listening. EMDR intensives range from a half day to several days and are the equivalent of 2 to 6 months of weekly therapy.
Wow.
Now, some people may ask, what is EMDR?
Well, I'll try to give you an explanation.
Break it down, honey.
EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. By simply stimulating both sides of the brain, it helps heal the brain and desensitizes traumatic or upsetting memories. It's also been used to effectively treat a wide range of mental health problems such as PTSD, depression, anxiety, grief, and phobias.
Ooh. So what's cool about these intensives is that they allow you to unpack the past and the pain without having to deal with everyday stuff like carpooling and morning meetings and presentations.
And this intensive format decreases treatment time and saves you a considerable amount of money in the long run.
Exactly. So if you want to start feeling better now, and why wouldn't you?
Right.
Then EMDR intensives are the way to go. And California residents, click the link in our show notes to find the link to Mercedes Cusick's website and book your EMDR intensive today.
That's right. And don't live in the pain of past traumas any longer than you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Mercedes Cusick, LMFT, licensed trauma therapist, is located in Woodland Hills, California. Her website is www.mercedescusick.com.
Very impressive spelling as usual, hon.
Shout out to our friend Kathleen Hahn.
Kathleen.
Yep, she's been a show favorite from the very beginning.
Yes, she has.
And she is supporting us by letting us shout her out every week.
You know, and that's such a cool thing. Like, she is a patron of us. She has joined our Patreon at this level, so she gets her name shouted out in every episode. And she's not even really promoting anything right now.
No, you know, she's actually, you know, bought a few of the books,
yes.
Gone on people's websites, become part of communities.
She's a true only one in the room roomie.
Absolutely.
Member.
And
yes.
A friend. So we love you, Kathleen. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen. And thank you to all of our Patreons and all the new ones who just joined. Some of them don't get shouted out. You know, it depends on what level you join, but we appreciate everybody. The podcast needs the support. So we appreciate you.
Thank you, everyone.
On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.